As you know, we've been talking together for the last few weeks about game on. It's time to change our world. And we've been looking each week at different aspect of that and some very specific, very practical things that we can do to prepare ourselves and to be used by God to change our world. Remember, we started with that simple three-word prayer, God, use me. And that's what this whole thing is about. How can God use me in my world to make a difference? Well, we've talked about a number of things along the way, and this morning I want us to continue. You have to turn this thing on. One of these days I'm going to learn that. Every Sunday you have to turn it on. There we go. I want us to think together about it's time to break free of selfishness. One of the main things that holds us back in really making a difference in the world around us is our own human nature, our own selfishness. And when a play goes just right and the guy with the ball takes off and kind of leaves everybody behind, we say he has broken free. He's on his way. He broke free of the crowd. He broke free of the group, and he's headed toward his goal. It reminded me of the author of the book of Hebrews, who said, you know what? Let's set aside all the weights. Let's set aside all the weights and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race that has been set before us. Selfishness is that one of those things, probably the primary thing, that can just kind of wrap us up and entangle us, and hold us back so that we can't really accomplish all that we're intended to accomplish. It is selfishness that usually causes us to make the bad decisions that we make. It is selfishness that hinders us from seeing the needs around us. It is selfishness that keeps us from accomplishing the purpose that God gave us. Do you realize that if you're alive and breathing, you have a purpose? God gave you a reason to be here. And if all we can do is think of self, then we miss that greater purpose. We miss being a part of something bigger than ourselves. And so I want us to think together about how we can break free of selfishness. We're going to start in Philippians chapter 2. If you have your copy of Scripture with you, we're in Philippians. That's the New Testament. The big two books of the New Testament, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Turn right. Once you find 1st and 2nd Corinthians, turn right. You'll find Philippians not far away. Philippians, beginning at chapter 2, at verse 4. Philippians 2 and 4. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. You know, every time I read that, I think of Finding Nemo. Sorry, I know it's... You remember Finding Nemo? At one scene, there's these two little fishes, and they're flopping around on the dock. And one is actually kind of one of the heroes of the story, I think. But they're flopping around on the dock here, and all of a sudden, the seagulls see these two little fish flopping around on the dock. And the seagulls just kind of flock around. And how many of you know the line? What do they say? Mine, 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 mine. How many of us live life just like those seagulls? We think life is all about mine, 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 mine. I'm going to get mine. I'm going to get it my way. And don't you touch it. Don't you come close to it. It's mine. You know, when we're first born, all we know is to depend on others to give me. That's all we know. But beloved, we're supposed to outgrow it. We're supposed to grow up. Human nature, however, holds on to that selfishness. Human nature makes us grow up with inward eyeballs, and all we can see is me. So something has to change along the way. We have to be able to let God change our perspective. And when the Holy Spirit comes in, when we accept Christ and the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, He can begin to change that inward selfish perspective and help us to see the world more like Christ does and begin to care more about what's out there than we do about in here. See, Paul makes it so clear, so plain, so simple. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. You see, we get to choose, we have to choose between selfishness and service. A huge part of life is that choice. Selfish or service. And when we begin to make that decision the way Christ would, life opens up in a whole new way. When we begin to choose service over selfishness, we can begin to fulfill our purpose. But see, being a servant isn't natural. Being selfish is what comes naturally. So how do I break free of that selfishness? We're going to look at that together. But before we do, I want to make sure you get this one thing. And there's not a spot for this already laid out in your notes. If you follow the notes in the worship folder, we're going to go through that outline in just a moment. There's not a spot for this, but you need to write this down somewhere. Small things done with great love change the world. That's how we change the world. Small things done with great love. It's not necessarily the great things that change the world, the big things. It's the small things. But those things that are done with great love that wind up changing the world around us. It is when we break free of selfishness. Every time we put down that desire to be selfish and choose service, every time we do that, we make the world better. So let's look at seven simple ways to break free from selfishness. First, I want to connect with my family. I want to connect with my family. By the way, we're going to come back to this Philippians passage in just a minute. So either leave your Bible open or put a marker here because we're going to come right back to Philippians 2 in just a minute. In the meantime, let's look at these seven simple ways to break free. Number one, I need to connect with my family. What we're going to do this morning is start with the people closest to us. And then you're going to see how step by step as we go through the seven, you're going to see how we reach out to folks beyond. But we're going to start with the folks closest to us. If I'm going to make a difference in my world and if I'm going to break free of my selfishness, I first have to start connecting with my family. To really make a difference in the world, I need to start at home. And so Scripture lays out very clearly the kinds of relationships that God wants us to have. It even made the top 10, the 10 commandments. The first four commandments are about our relationship with God. The last six commandments are about our relationship with other people. And the first commandment that's about my relationship with other people is about my relationship with my family. Exodus 20 and 12, honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The first commandment that God gave us that deals with our relationship with others is a commandment about the family, how we relate to our parents. Scripture then goes on to say, wives, respect your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Parents, teach your kids. Kids, obey your parents. And on, Scripture gives us instruction about how to connect with our family. And we've got to decide that I'm going to step out of my selfishness and I'm going to start serving and connecting my family. Too many times the family gets pulled apart. Too many times the family struggles. We have heartache at home because every one of us is being too selfish. Too many times the reason I see families being torn apart is because every person is in it for themselves. And I'm telling you, you cannot be happy at home if you're stuck in selfishness. It doesn't work. The first thing we're going to do is connect with my family. Did you ever realize the first institution that God ever created was not the church? The first institution God created was not the government. The first institution God created was the family. Life begins there, and that should be the center of our purpose. Connect with family. And then the second thing that I can do to break out of selfishness is to encourage my colleagues. See, we're moving a little bit farther. I want to encourage my colleagues. I want to develop the reputation of an encourager. You know what I've noticed? Every workplace and every classroom and every bridge club has a certain kind of there are certain characters who show up in almost every group. You got the one who's kind of the jokester, always kind of being funny, always kind of being silly. Everybody kind of likes to laugh with that person. Then you got the gossip. This person always knows what's going on. And if they don't know, they can make it up pretty good. Then you got the negative person, always complaining. The boss is always wrong. This is always a terrible place, and they never treat us right, and they never pay us enough, and there's always something wrong. And then you got the quiet person. Most likely a pretty positive person, but the gossip and the complainer are talking so much they're afraid to say anything. Here's my question. Almost every group has those people in it. Here's my question. How do your colleagues see you? What's your reputation at work? What's your reputation in the classroom? What's your reputation at the bakery? If people gave you a label, what would it be? Are you the naysayer? Are you the negative one? I want to encourage you to be like Barnabas and have the reputation of an encourager. That's how he got his name. That's how we know him. He is an encourager. And I want to encourage you, make that your reputation. Ephesians 4 and 29 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." What if that's how people got to know you? Man, I just love hanging out with so-and-so because so-and-so always makes me feel so good. So-and-so is always encouraging, uplifting, always has a positive thing to say. I come in negative and I come in complaining and I come in with my feelings hurt, and they just have a way of lifting things up and helping me see a better way. Wouldn't it be great if folks saw you that way? That's how you break free of selfishness. You become the person who encourages the other folks instead of showing up saying, "Somebody encourage me. Somebody make me feel better. Somebody tell me I'm wonderful." How about you be the one that tells them they're wonderful? You encourage colleagues. This is a simple action that you can focus on tomorrow. You know why we need to do it tomorrow? Because tomorrow's Monday. Tomorrow's a Monday. Perfect day to start. You show up at work tomorrow and you say, "Regardless of what my reputation has been, as of today, my reputation is going to be the guy who encourages everybody in my office." Encourage my colleagues. That will help me break out of selfishness. Number three, pray for my friends. See, we're moving out, ever steady out. Next, we're going to pray for my friends. You know, we tend to underestimate the power of prayer as a means of service. We so often turn to prayer when somebody's sick and somebody needs something. But don't underestimate the power of prayer as an act of service. I can serve you by praying for you. That's one powerful way that I can demonstrate love for you, is to pray for you. 1 Timothy 2:1, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. Now, understand, when I say pray for your friends, what I don't mean is when somebody goes on Facebook and they say, I'm having a terrible day and I'm sick and I'm hurt and so and so, and then you put on a comment, prayers, that's not it. You know, that kind of makes them feel good for a minute, but that don't really do nothing. Unless you actually stop what you're doing and you pray to a Lord who is the God of heavens and earth, and you pray to God Almighty that He would intervene and actually do something supernatural in the life of that person. And I'm going to go so far as to take a risk of offending some of us, and I'm going to say, if you're not willing to do that, don't tell your friend you're praying for him, because you're really not. Feeling sympathy is not a prayer. Tell your friend, I feel sympathy for you, if that's as far as it goes. But if you're going to offer to pray for somebody, do it. What a beautiful act of service. My friend, I can't be there with you while you're hurting because I have to be at work. But one thing I can do is I can turn to an almighty God on your behalf. Please know that I'm doing that for you. Pray for your friends. While we're speaking of friends, look at number 4. Invite my friends to church. This is a great way to break out of selfishness. Invite my friends to church. You know, you have found something here. How do I know that? Because you're still here. You found something here. And your friends care about what you care about. That's how they got to be your friends. They're your friends because they care about what you care about. So if you found something here and your friends care about what you care about, why not say, friend, I want to invite you to come to church with me. It's easy to invite them to go to Starbucks. It's easy to invite them to go to a movie. It's easy to invite them over for dinner. Why not just say, hey, here's another part of my life I'd love for you to be a part of. Would you just come to church with me on Sunday? Say, man, there's something going on over there. Meet me at that church at 10:15, and I'll sit with you. I want to introduce you to some of my other friends. It gets us out of that selfishness. The church now all of a sudden is not so much about what can I get, but how can I serve? Colossians 4:5. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Think about it. Be wise. He says, think about it. Be wise. How can you make the most of every opportunity to bring your friends into a closer relationship, or perhaps even a saving relationship with Jesus Christ? One of the easiest ways I know, come see what's going on at the church. Tonight we got a concert. Man, that's a great way to do it. No pressure. No preaching. Just great music. Come listen to these kids. They can sing, man. It's good stuff. Invite them to come. Number 5, the fifth thing that I can do to break free from selfishness, help someone in need. I'm not going to take much time on this because that was last week's sermon. Last week we looked at the story of the Good Samaritan, and we learned the importance of opening our heart to those in need. When we do that, we step out of we move beyond that selfishness. We break free of selfishness. Matter of fact, often when folks come in to visit with me, and not always, but often, when they'll come in for a form of counseling, I'll be visiting with them, and they're just, I'm so upset about this, and I need this, and I can't do that, and I want, and I. I'll say, you know, I want to encourage you this week, do something for someone else in a way that they'll never know who did it. Trying to help them break out of that self-destructive selfishness that holds them back. So, help someone in need can help us to do that. Number six, show kindness to a stranger. We're moving. See, the circle of influence is moving out. Show kindness to a stranger. And you know, we hear a lot about random acts of kindness. That's a nice concept, but that's not really what we want to do. Not a random act of kindness. I think something more powerful is an intentional act of kindness. Random, it just kind of happens and just happen to do it. No, intentional act of kindness. Decide that this week, decide that before you come back next Sunday, between now and then, you're going to intentionally do something to benefit a stranger, somebody you don't even know. An intentional act of kindness. Hebrews says, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Now, the suggestion there is you don't know anything about that stranger. You don't know who you're helping. You don't know what they're going through. Maybe an angel. Maybe somebody who's hurting and just needs to know that there is a loving God out there. And so when you leave an extra $5 in a tip, you're saying, hey, somebody really does care. When you do those little intentional acts of kindness to a stranger, you find a way to help someone else out there. God may have placed that person in your life at that time for a specific reason. So break out of your selfishness and start looking this week for an opportunity to show kindness to a stranger. Number seven, the biggest and the last in our list, but the biggest way that we break free from selfishness is adopt the humility of Jesus. Decide to adopt the humble attitude of Jesus. Man, the night before Jesus dies, he's with his disciples up in that upper room. And what a powerful, powerful experience that must have been. He is the Lord of Lords. He's the King of Kings. He is the Savior of the world. And he has chosen these 12 to follow him. He has chosen to invest his life into those 12 to teach them and prepare them for everything that's about to happen in the world. And in that moment, he is saying goodbye to them. This is our last night together, guys. And here's what I want you to know. You have had the privilege of learning from and walking with the master of the universe. That's not what he said, is it? Instead, he said, somebody hand me that bowl and hand me that towel. I'm going to wash your feet. Now, you serve one another the way I have served you. The message he wanted to leave them with on that last night, serve. And so in our text in Philippians 2, you remember I told you that we'd come back? Here we go. In Philippians 2, look at verse 5. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant. Here he is. He is the same form with God, it says. He existed in the form of God, but did not require that equality. He didn't need the recognition. And it says that he emptied himself and took the form of a servant to God the Father. And being made in the likeness of men, not only did he take on the form of a servant to God the Father, but he lowered himself even further and he took on the form of man. The Creator has now taken on the form of the creation. And being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself by being obedient. Not only did he say, I'll be a servant, but then he humbled himself enough to take on the form of a man. And not only that, but as a man, he humbled himself to be obedient. And not only obedient, but look at what it says, becoming obedient to the point of death. But even worse than that, even death on a cross. So often we kind of have this attitude, I deserve better than this. And Jesus is the only one who deserved glory. But he steps out of glory, takes on the role of a servant, and he allows himself to be killed on that cross. Beloved, that's the attitude we want to have. The attitude of our Lord. Humble attitude that allows us to push forward beyond that selfishness. Understand that humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. Humility isn't putting yourself down. Humility is lifting others up. People notice that kind of life. That kind of life stands out because it's so different. That kind of life shines brightly. That kind of life that Jesus wants you to live. Matthew 23, Jesus says, the greatest among you will be your servant. Seven simple actions. You can begin to incorporate these actions into your life. You're going to begin breaking free of selfishness. You're going to begin to live the kind of life that God created you to live. Connect with my family. Encourage my colleagues. Pray for my friends. Invite my friends to church. Help someone in need. Show kindness to a stranger. Adopt the humility of Jesus. And then without noticing, because if you notice, you'll be tempted to give yourself a pat on the back and it ruins it. So without noticing, you are going to start making a difference in the world around you. Father, we pray that you would help us this morning to surrender our will to you, to surrender our hearts to you. Help us to surrender our minds and our dreams, our desires. Help us to surrender all to you. You're worthy of all that we are. And Lord, we want to serve you by serving others. We want to fulfill our purpose to make a difference in this world for you. Help us to accomplish that for your glory, we pray.